I got a nice little note here, and very special to us to see visitors this morning, some who have a pretty strong connection with our past. And there are some people here from the Palmerston Church, Palmerston Wallace Church. First pastorate had two churches, and so on a Sunday morning, if I preached too long at one church, I had to break the speed limit to get back to the other church. I think that was kingdom business, but it was very special. So these people, if you want to find out how young I was and the rookie mistakes that I made as a pastor, these are people you can talk to this afternoon. So those that are from the Palmerston Church, would you just raise your hands? There you go, Palmerston Wallace Church. So thank you. And there we go, back there as well. Now, the note I got handed was delightful because it means that the church that we served for a total of 16 years in Calgary is represented as well. And a lady that we knew as Mary Abraham, and it's hard to get that name out, and her husband, George, and we're so delighted that you're here. Can you just raise your hands and wave it? Let's welcome them. So if you want stories of what it was like in Bonavista to get started with a very small group, you can talk to Mary. And then people that served as elders, as a deacon in Bonavista Church, and a couple that have continued as friends. But as we connect with them, they live in Brampton now, but it really connects us with Bonavista in Calgary. And that's Bob and Jackie Campbell. Would you just raise your hands? There we go. And a couple of dear friends, this goes back to Karen's high school days, and they just show up at every church we pastor and visit there, and they're here again this morning. That's Paul and Gwen Penny, so welcome here this morning. There are other family and friends from other places here this morning, and I'm bound to miss someone if I try to include everybody, so everybody else that's here, welcome. We're delighted that you're here and able to be part of this. Well, it's no ordinary day. That's just a reality that has touched our lives in a very strong way. So thank you for being here. Thank you for marking the day with Karen and myself. The title is Reflections, and as we've been reflecting, it's pretty hard not to do that. It's an appropriate time to do it. It's been an amazing journey since the day that I understood God's call on my life, and that was in a little Bible college in North Vancouver. And it was at the start of a class on Ephesians. And in a prayer time that opened that class time, I just knew within me. I felt, experienced God's call in a powerful way for me. And it's just been an amazing time since then. I couldn't, at that time, I have no recall of what I was imagining what the future would be like, but I couldn't have imagined the ministry situations that God would lead us into since then. I wouldn't have met Karen apart from that, and that's been the biggest human factor in my life and in blessing that has come to me. But together we have known that it's an amazing grace that God pours out on us. I certainly at that time would not have guessed that we would finish our full-time ministry in Markham, or in Ontario even, or in the Evangelical Missionary Church. All of those steps have been significant and we believe directed of the Lord in all of that. We wouldn't have dared hope for the level of joy and fulfillment that we've experienced here in the last 5.5 years of full-time ministry that God has called us to. Your partnership in ministry here in Markham Missionary Church has been magnificent and has been wonderful and stirring. Your words of encouragement have meant so much along the way, the cooperation with changes that we have made. The staff that has worked with me, Pastor Barry, Pastor Sam, Joan Walsh, Diane Caldwell, and Bonnie Warner now as admin assistant, have been so supportive and so ready to work as a team. It's been wonderful. Chinese language ministries, what a delight and what a tremendous opportunity to work with Pastor Boris, Pastor Wing, and their spouses of all these people that I've mentioned, if they have spouses, and it has been exciting. It's been delightful. On top of all of that, you've given us your affection. We've cherished the embrace of your hearts. That has gone so far beyond what we could ever have planned for or counted on. But it has been cherished and is so fills us with gratefulness. But that becomes bittersweet because a departure happens in that. There are moments when Karen and I have said we must be crazy to move away from this wonderful connection with people here at Markham Missionary Church, to move away from people who love us and have been generous in offering that love to us. As I've pondered over these past few weeks, thinking about leaving, thinking about your love for us and our love for you, mulling over what I would share this morning, believe it or not, a really irritating song keeps coming to mind as I've thought about that. It played on the radio many years ago. I don't know if any of you will recall it. I don't think it lasted very long on the charts or number one, if it ever was number one. But it seemed for a while that every time I got in the car and drove someplace, this song was on. It was called, you ready for this? 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover. How many remember that song? God, look at this. Oh, how crazy is that? See, it really was that irritating, wasn't it? I mean, just get rid of it, whatever. Apparently written by Paul, I think it's Paul Simon. Listen to the words of the refrain. So, you know, we're thinking about leaving, all right? And the advice offered in this, it says, just slip out the back, Jack. Make a new plan, Stan. You don't need to be coy, Roy. Just get yourself free. Hop on the bus, Gus. You don't need to discuss much. Just drop off the key, Lee. Just get yourself free. Well, that naturally led me to ponder, are there 50 ways for the Krauses to leave Markham Missionary Church? I really didn't spend very much time on that. But that somewhat naturally led me to ponder departures in the Bible. Have you thought about that? Just that theme? Have you ever read through the scriptures with that theme in mind? That may not be a natural progression of thought for you, but after 40 years of preparing sermons, things like that just kind of happen. I'm sure that there are at least 50 departures recorded, some good, some bad, and I'm sure that buried in this there are some inspirational thoughts from these departure stories, and hopefully you will help me mine those out this morning beyond the ones that I suggest. I'm sure that as we think about bad departures in the Bible, that we would all agree that Goliath had a bad departure. You know, one minute laughing that a young David would come against him with only a slingshot, the next minute collapsing with a stone from that slingshot buried in his forehead, and then being dispatched by his own sword. Inspirational thought out of that? You know, it's just way too tempting to say that when you're on the battlefield, don't get stoned. I knew that if I didn't say that, Jim Hebert would say that afterwards. More on the inspirational line, I think probably don't underestimate what a young person can do through God's direction in his life. And I know that some of you, as the new pastor comes next week, ponder that he's about half my age, and so thoughts of young youthfulness are there. But don't underestimate what God can do through a young person. Probably Jonah would qualify for the believer's trophy for worst departure. Running from God is not a good way to leave. Leaving a ship by being thrown overboard, not good. Being swallowed by a giant fish, not good. But departing the fish by being vomited up is definitely revolting. Inspirational thought? Well, you can add your own humor on that, but really you can't outrun God. And I think that's enough about Jonah. Some of the Bible characters show up on both the bad departure list and the good departure list. There are great stories of redemption. There are great stories of God not giving up on people when they've made a bad departure. And so, friends, this morning, if you've made a bad turn in your life somewhere along the way, be inspired by how God can turn that to good. And we'll see that in several Bible characters this morning. Well, let's think of a few more bad departures. We could talk about Joseph. You remember that he was one of 12 children of Jacob, who was renamed Israel. So these become the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And Joseph was the 11th child. Benjamin was younger than him. And Joseph was spoiled. You remember that. His dad had a coat of many colors made for him. And Joseph just had this natural ability to irritate his older brothers. And so he taunted them with his spoiledness. And he kept telling them stories about his dreams in which the older brothers all bowed down to him. That was not the culture of the day. But he kept it up, kept it in their face. And so finally they tied him up, sold him into slavery with a passing caravan, and he went into Egypt tied on a camel. Bad departure. But we know enough about the story of Joseph that we know that eventually he became prime minister of Egypt and became the savior of his whole family and of the Hebrew people. Elijah. He's next on our list for bad departures. Now, Elijah we usually think of in pretty great terms. He was a great prophet, powerful prophet. God worked miracles through him. You remember this giant confrontation on Mount Carmel with the prophets of idol worshippers for the idol Baal? And this great contest on the peak of Mount Carmel, where he suggested to them, the prophets, that they call down fire from heaven to consume a sacrifice that was laid out on an altar. And they did everything they could. And Elijah taunted them. Yell louder, maybe your God's asleep. And they cut themselves, they did everything they could, and no fire from heaven fell. Nothing came. I mean, Elijah prayed. In fact, before he prayed, let's add this, he had the sacrifice soaked with barrels of water just to make sure that nobody happened to strike their spear on a rock and a spark landed on this offering and burnt it up. And fire came from heaven. Great victory. And then dispatch the prophets of Baal. Wonderful. You would ride out of there on a high, wouldn't you? But Elijah was so spent, was so given to the defeat of these prophets of Baal. His spirit had been drained to the bottom, and he ran for his life, chased by the evil queen Jezebel. And he went and hid in the wilderness. He wanted to die. He felt that he was all alone, that he was the only one that was standing up for God in the whole nation. And he hit the depths of depression. It was a bad departure. But we'll come back to Elijah later. Just understand that even a great prophet of God can go through times that are difficult and down, even on the end climax of a great victory for God. Well, the next on my list of bad departures actually is the writer of the second gospel, Mark. Mark had an embarrassing departure. There's a little known story of Mark that's buried in Mark's gospel alone. And so scholars say that probably this was a personal experience of Mark, although he doesn't directly say that in the verses in chapter 14, verses 51 and 52. The scene there is the arrest of Jesus in the garden. And you remember that before that, they had observed their final supper with Jesus. And they had been in a banquet room in a private residence. And it's speculated that Mark, who was a young teenager, who was supposed to be sleeping in this house, where the borrowed house where Jesus was having the last supper with his disciples, that he was watching through a keyhole. Now, that's foreign to you, right? You would never do that kind of thing. But Mark probably did it, and when he saw the whole group leave, he grabbed a sheet off his bed, wrapped it around him because he didn't have anything else on, and he followed them. And so he's standing in the shadows as Jesus is arrested. And the soldiers trying to capture all the disciples in their sweep of arrest at that time grab this man, Mark, probably. And he definitely didn't want to be caught up in this because he was probably disobeying his mother by being there. And he ran, and he just left the sheet in the soldier's hands. So he ran naked away from that. That's a little embarrassing. It's not a good departure when you run away naked. Although Job reminds us, in chapter 1, verse 21, he says, "Naked I came into the world from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart." Inspirational thought? Well, it reminds us, if there is any note of inspiration in this, it's not the things of this world that are of ultimate importance. And Mark had been stripped right down and found out that he better escape with his life. Well, the Apostle Paul is the sixth one on this bad departure list. Now, Paul, very famous person, writer of most prolific writer in the New Testament. He seemed to be into extreme departures. You know, we've seen that term over these last few years of extreme sports and extreme adventures. Well, Paul managed to find extreme departures. Riots that sent him out of town, beatings, horrible beatings, prison, being escorted out of towns. At one point, he departed as a basket case. In Acts chapter 9, verse 25, it tells of Paul, probably in his first ministry situation. You remember, he was converted on the road to Damascus. It's possible that just after that he spent years in the wilderness learning from God the gospel and getting up to speed on what he would be teaching. And he came back to Damascus and there debated the Jewish leaders as to show them that Jesus was the Messiah, the one they were looking for. And Paul kept winning the debates. Well, losers don't like being beaten all the time, and so they conspired to kill him. And his friends took him. These losers that were trying to kill Paul apparently had sealed off the city gates. His friends put him in a basket and lowered it over the city walls so he could escape from there. Now, usually, we think of the Apostle Paul as a role model. Now, I'm not looking for a basket for us to get out of Markham. And I think that his departure from Troas is one departure that you hope I don't use as a model today. It's in Acts chapter 20, verses 7 to 12. It was the night before Paul's party was planning to leave Troas, and so it was his final time with them. They had been there 7 days with the believers in Troas. Their departure was coming the next day. It says that in this final farewell meeting where Paul was teaching the believers in Troas, he kept talking until midnight. Ha-ha! I don't have to worry about that clock. And it says that he preached so effectively that he put one young man into such a deep sleep. The young man's name was Eutychus. The guy was so sound asleep that he fell from a third-story window and was dead. Now, Paul, I don't know if it was an ancient form of CPR. It says Paul threw himself on the young man and revived him in some way. We don't know if it was a divine miracle or if it was the weight of Paul landing on him that made him breathe again. But he didn't stay dead. He got up. He was apparently okay. And so they decided to take a lunch break at midnight. Sounds like a good idea. But then it says, I never noticed this before until I was researching departures. And so you see, there is some value in this. It says that Paul kept talking till daylight. Oh, we really have some time available to us. Well, enough about bad departures. There are good departures in the scriptures, and they're quite numerous. And there are some great challenges for us in these accounts. So when you reflect on departures and think of the whole sweep of the drama of God's working through people from creation through to the second coming of Christ, Abraham's departure counts right up there. Abraham, do you remember his call from God? This is the most personal interaction with God, with a servant, to call him to action for generations. Abraham hears God's call. God calls him to leave his homeland and go to a land that God will show him later. In other words, he doesn't even know where he's going. I'm quite happy that we know where we're going. But Abraham's call was to a country that he didn't even know. And it was traveling by faith. It was going out on a limb for God. And we know that the promise that God gave Abraham was that Abraham would be blessed, that he would have offspring as numerous as the sand of the sea, the stars of the sky, and he had no children at the time. And he promised that through Abraham and his offspring, the whole world would be blessed. It was an amazing promise to Abraham, if Abraham would trust God and go to a land that he didn't know. God may place a call on your life wherein you don't know where it's going to end. You don't know the end destination. You don't know how it's going to turn out. Some new venture, perhaps. Doesn't necessarily mean you have to move across the country to have an Abrahamic call in your life. It may be something right where you're resident. Some opportunity opens up. Some sense of call to ministry that has never been done before. And often it's things that you shake your head over. Think that you're crazy. Can that be God's call? And so you pray and you pursue it. You read the scriptures. You get others to talk with that you promise won't commit you to an insane asylum. But that God has called you. And in quiet commitment to that, you pursue the call of God in your life. Trust Him with the journey as well as the destination. Abraham did that. And we know that the future has been different because he obeyed God. Moses, he ranks high on the list of special departures. Do you remember why he left Egypt the first time? You remember that he had started out as being adopted into Pharaoh's family. Very special birth story and preservation story. For 40 years, he was raised in Pharaoh's court. All the training and education that was available in a very advanced civilization of the day. And then he blew it. He was out, he had understood his birth story. He knew that he was a Hebrew, even though he had brought up in Pharaoh's family. And one day he was out and saw an Egyptian abusing a Hebrew. And Moses' instinct to protect his own people rose up, and in the fire of youth, he killed the Egyptian. It turned out he had to flee for his life. Bad departure, right? His life, all the possibilities that had been opened to him were now crushed and destroyed. And so Moses ended up out in the wilderness 40 years as a shepherd. But what he didn't know that was that he was being schooled in wilderness living so that one day he'd be able to lead the children of Israel on a wilderness journey that turned into 40 years. Look what God can do to change a person's direction. Think about all that was accomplished in the 40 years training in Pharaoh's court, 40 years training in the wilderness as a shepherd, and then this burning bush experience as God singled him out, spoke to him, called him to come back and to be the champion of the children of Israel. And of course, his second departure from Egypt was a wonderful departure, a great victory through the plagues, through all that had happened. Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt and into their future and survived 40 years in wilderness living that brought them to the edge over and over again. But his people were released from slavery through Moses' obedience to God in what turned out to be a good departure. Think of Elijah. Boy, we're really scooting around the personalities of the Bible. Elijah had an incredible final departure. Maybe you know that story. We had mentioned his fear, his depression. He's the one that wanted to die. He thought he was the only one that was living for God. And again, we see a life restored out of a failure into glorious service for God. God is a God of second chances, friends. Be prepared to lay the past behind you and to go on in God's power and God's newness, which is fresh every day. Elijah continued to minister powerfully as a prophet. He had a school of prophets. He mentored Elisha, passed to him the mantle of chief prophet under God's direction. And then when his time was at hand to depart, something very special happened for Elijah. He was separated from his protege, Elisha, by an appearance of fiery horses and chariots. And then Elijah was taken to heaven in a whirlwind. Well, he just bypassed death. There's a lot of us that would like to have that in our future, wouldn't we? And of course, we remember that he appeared with Jesus and Moses on the Mount of Transfiguration many years later. Wonderful departure. One of the most memorable departure scenes in the New Testament is the Apostle Paul's farewell to the Ephesian elders. So again, we get Paul on both sides of the list here. When Paul met with the Ephesian elders, he knew he was heading into probable imprisonment. He knew that he would not see them again. So he gave them some very strong final admonitions. And I want to emphasize these to you today. First of all, the Apostle Paul said to these elders, "Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock." And so, elders, I want to speak to you. This is a charge to you. First of all, to keep watch over yourselves. Keep your life on track for God. Keep the disciplines of the Christian life up to date and fresh in your life as you're charged with the responsibility of guiding the congregation. Take yourselves out of the situations of temptation. Surround yourself with people who will be supportive and accountable for your accountability to them. Be the elders that are needed, that God calls for Markham Missionary Church to be strong as a congregation into the future. You, along with Pastor Graham, Pastor Barry, as elders charged with the care of the people that the Holy Spirit has given to you. This is your flock. And God is holding you accountable for the directions that come on in the future. Be sure that good nurture from the Scriptures is always happening. As elders, you need to monitor that. Be aware of it. Be sure that the teaching that is needed for people to be fully developed disciples of Jesus continues and builds, and that that path of discipleship that we've talked about in the Elders' Council comes into fruition and is suitable and helpful in the life of the congregation. And then Paul warns, be shepherds that protect the flock, because savage wolves will try to disrupt the flock. Now, could that possibly have any application to Markham Missionary Church? Oh, absolutely, friends. The Church of Jesus Christ is always vulnerable to those that would try to disrupt it and send it in directions that will emasculate it from its strength for the Lord Jesus Christ. People will come with their own agendas. People will come with single issues that they want to see become the issue of the whole church. It almost always happens over something relatively minor that disruptions come into the life of the church. And as elders, I charge you with the responsibility to not let minor differences divide the congregation. Always keep focus on the main things. Our president, Phil Delso, has as a theme over and over again, let the main thing be the main thing. And you know, that sounds overly simple, but it's right on. And we need to do that. Let minor things be given liberty, but don't let them become controlling in the life of the church. Our mission statement keeps focus on the main things, celebrating God's love and good news by embracing all people in Jesus' name. Markham Missionary Church as a body of Christ is made up from a multitude of different backgrounds. There's a richness in that mix. And I've been so blessed as you've shared with me some of your stories of your background. But there could be a danger when someone wants to emphasize their treasured doctrine or practice from their past. And our mission statement can keep us looking beyond those treasured items of the past to building God's kingdom for today and tomorrow. May that be the focus of it. But the biggest departure of Bible history was that of Jesus. After final words, with the disciples watching, Acts chapter 1 verse 9 says, he was taken up before their very eyes and the cloud hid him from their sight. What a culmination of ministry, of crucifixion, of resurrection. He had just promised to his followers power from the Holy Spirit for their witness and for their living for Jesus Christ. That their witness would radiate out from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. The ascended Christ is present with us, friends, through the Holy Spirit. And his passion is that we would renew our care and commitment to propel that witness into our immediate community and realize that the world is represented just across Major Mac Highway. But beyond that, to continue to support ministries that radiate out to the ends of the earth, that God's truth may go into every people, tribe, and nation. So many of these departures that we've looked at were significant turning points, times when old things were left behind. And our prayer is that you've been prepared for this next season for Markham Missionary Church, that with Peter, in the passage that was read today, that we have done all we can, we've made every effort, so that after our departure, you will always be remembering these things. And that now, you will take up the calling on your life that comes through the spiritual gifts that Jesus has given to you. And that you will have power by the Holy Spirit to be part of a dynamic church that brings many to Christ in the days to come. You see, the most dramatic departure of all is yet to come. And this is the time to bring as many people as possible to readiness for when Jesus comes again. And he promised the disciples that after he prepared a place for those who believe, what? He will come again, take you to be with him. That will be our future. That will be our eternity. So friends, as we reflect on departing, it ultimately brings us to ponder the second coming of Christ. The great urgency for people to come to Christ to be ready. So, may our departure, knowing that we will one day meet every one of you again through Jesus Christ as he evacuates believers from this world in his timing, may that truth always bring you to reflect that our time here is to be used to bring others to readiness for that great departure. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we're so grateful that your word is honest and includes the record of bad departures. But we thank you for the great stories of grace and redemption and the great hope that you bring to us, that in that departure of Jesus from this world brings the message that he will come again. And Father, that is a time for which all of us are to be ready. And may our love for you radiate out into love for those around us, that they may come to know the truth of Jesus Christ, and that they too will be ready for that great departure when the trumpet will sound, dead in Christ shall rise, and we will be caught up together to be with him forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.